line. You can't get there from here.
Strap on your pee bag.
Clyde Army. Running with scissors.
H-W-Y-R-T.
H-W-Y-R-T.
How come you're not running right now? No, seriously, grab some headphones and go for a run while you listen.
Come on, Bright.
And now, without further ado, here are Brian and Peter.
So, Brian, how was your run today?
Hey, Peter, thank you so much for asking. As you know, I'm training for the Anchor Down Ultra.
Anchor down, me heart is down, anchor down you go. Sure, it does an ultra run, but don't you run too slow. 6 or 12 or 24, that be up to you. But anchor down, me heart is down, don't stop until you're through.
And you're not alone in that training. I also am training for the six-hour event of the aforementioned Anchor Down Ultra. Thank you, Maestro Jeff Cronenberg, for that fine ditty about the race. We're almost done. We're almost to the race.
Well, and so today was, I was really intentional today. Today's about 1,000 degrees here in the Boston area. And I said, I'm going to go for a run this morning. We're tapering, as everyone knows.
No, it's like, dude, it's 5 days away. Not even. Now it's like 4 days away. No, and when this goes out, unless we release this early, it's going to be the next day from when this goes out.
Well, whenever anybody's listening to it, we're less than a week away. All the long runs are over, such as they were. But today, I wanted to go out and get a little more, not heat training, but just like, yes, I need to get a few miles in the heat. And it was really hot, and I sweated, so I actually called you. And one of the things I said was, I said, I am definitely not wearing a shirt for this race, because this shirt I'm wearing now, after 5 miles, weighs 1,000 pounds with all of the water that used to be inside of a being called Brian Gould, who is now deceased, because I'd ran 5 miles in the extreme heat.
And it wasn't like a long sleeve tech shirt. You were wearing the least amount of clothing you could be in the Chagas Challenge HWRT singlet.
Of course I was. Do you remember the music we had for the Chagas Challenge? Do you want to hear that?
You know what? Because we are in the middle of Chagas right now, let's set a vibe right now.
Yeah, so this was my own Chagas challenge, doing the 5 miles. And then you said something so wonderful. You know, I ran the 5 miles, I sweated a lot, and I started running through my mind how much water I was going to have set up, electrolytes, salt pills. At least 2 miles of my run was thinking about how I was going to make broth, hot broth, and bring it to the Anchor Down Ultra, and should I drink it hot or cold? This took up 2 of the 5 miles, hot or cold broth. You can see where my head was. And then you said something so wonderful. Do you want to repeat what it is you said?
Well, yes, Brian, I had called you first at the end of my run, because my run was a little bit shorter than yours, and I left the voicemail that said, I've got bad news and I've got good news. Now, the bad news is that today is not a day that's fit for running. It's too hot. It is straight up too hot. It's humid, but it's more hot than humid. It's like running on the sun. It's not okay. But then I said the good news is don't worry, because the day of the actual anchor down, Friday, August 12th, this Friday, it's going to be 15 degrees cooler at least than what we're experiencing right now. And that's at the start of the race, and it's only going to get, you know, a little cooler as the night progresses. So it was, it's good news. But it felt good. Your 5 miles felt good, other than it was a 2,000 to 4,000 degrees Kelvin.
Good is pretty relative. I did it. I kept thinking, like, what is this going to be like at 11 o'clock at night when I'm this tired and it's this hot? It's just going to be buckle down and do it. That's all
I
can think about.
Well, I mean, let's
buckle down and do it.
You know, you're going to be way more tired than you were today. Like,
right.
It's going to be so much worse than you can imagine, but that's okay. You and I know that the secrets to this race is keep moving. Yeah. It's not,
keep moving.
It's not land speed records. It's just, can you keep moving?
And the only other thing I realized today was, like, I'm not going to come out of this tour with a magical extra strength and, speed and comfort. It's going to be whatever I had today is going to be the same thing I'm going to have at the end of the week.
Just before we started the recording, I quickly looked at Strava, you know, to see how I did. And today was like a 12:07 average pace. And my previous 5K was a, you know, 12 minute flat, and some previous ones before that of 4 or 5 or 6 miles. You know, I'm scratching 11 minute, but it's really, I'm averaging like 11 to 12 minutes. Well, that's really all I need to do to get my massive high goal of wanting to run 31 miles. I want to run 31 miles. I just got to run 12-minute miles. But yeah, I got to do that.
You can't stop, though.
You can't really stop.
So you have to add in stopping.
Right. So I got to run some of them faster.
Right.
That's where it's going to be problematic, especially going into hours 4 or 5 and then 6. It's going to be hard. So then I'm setting up sub goals, of course, you know, and this one's a little trickier because it's not just how far you went when the clock stopped. It's how many full circuits did you do? Full loops.
Yeah.
And I really don't want to lose, you know, so if the loop is 2.7 miles, I don't want to get 0.7 in. Well, getting 0.7 in wouldn't be so bad, but I don't want to be 2 miles in and the clock goes and I didn't get those 2 miles.
Well, you're going to know.
Oh, no. In my heart of heart, I'll know.
No. You're going to know before you even leave because.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah, no, right.
You're going to be able to say to someone on the sideline.
What have I been running?
What are my last two revolutions?
What have they been?
They're going to say, well, it was whatever. 45 minutes,
right?
And there's 15 minutes left on the clock, or there's 43 minutes left
right
on the clock.
So I'm going to sit down and put my feet up and eat pretzels. And you said it this past week, the biggest goal is, like, we're going to this race.
It's totally new. I mean, we've been to races, obviously, but I've never raced into this late into the night.
No, totally different. I've never done a race this long. Not on purpose, anyway.
You did do the soul searching solstice run, but you were injured, so you mostly walked that one.
I did. Walked. Yeah, no, the closest thing that this is comparable to probably is back at the October of 2020, the October Spice Ultra.
October Ultra, 50K Ultra. October Ultra. It's a pumpkin spice ultra.
Yeah, I guess that's the closest. I mean, the closest most recently is the soul searching solstice run.
Right. But to your point, I was injured. I didn't really, although I did keep moving for 9 hours. So I know I can do the thing. There's no fear there. Now it's more of, can I benefit from the training I did? Can I get something out of it that's, you know, more than blah, 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 blah? Do we want to get into how the training's been going, or
Let me ask you this first question.
Yeah, exactly.
How was your run today, Peter?
Thank you so much, Brian. It's really nice to hear you say that. You know, surprisingly good for how hot it was, because it was instantaneously not okay when I stepped outside. It was like, no, 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 no.
Nope.
Right. Now, part of that was my problem. I chose to get a lot of sleep last night, and it was great. And I didn't get out the door till just about 10 a.m., and it was way too hot. I should have gone 2 to 3 hours earlier, but I didn't do that. So, and I knew I was only going to go for about a 5K distance. I wasn't trying to do anything other than move my legs around and feel it and do it. And it went pretty, pretty well, because it was, other than it being obscenely hot, it was beautiful outside to look at, except for the people who were melting. I saw a few people melting by Jamaica Pond.
I'll tell you this. I got a breeze about in the last minute, and it changed my entire situation.
Yeah, it's funny you say that, because there was quite a breeze around Jamaica Pond. Now, it was kind of a warm breeze, but it was still a breeze. And I was wondering if, is there going to be a storm? Is there going to be something? And I don't know if we're going to get any kind of unsettled weather today or not, but it's definitely, there was humidity, but it wasn't oppressively humid. It was just really, really hot. It was really, really hot in the sun. And the difference between being in the sun or being covered under some trees was significant. And I thought to myself, again, this won't be a problem on race night, because it'll be night. It's going to be nighttime.
Yeah, but it's still going to be hot.
No, it's not. No, it's not 79 or whatever. There's a high.
Well, I've been thinking about this race for like 9 months, and the hotness and the heat. And of course, we watched the video starring Paul Checkel and Lori Michener, the Air Down Ultra video.
I loved it.
It was amazing. And all I could think about is how hot they were the entire time.
But it was unprecedentedly hot for that race. That was like the hottest they've ever experienced there for that race.
I know. I think it's always hot. Should we honor that documentary, which is called Anchor Down, Towing the Line, by playing that Anchor Down Sting again?
Did you mean the Jeff Cronenberg composed Anchor Down Sting?
I just love it so much.
Let's do it.
Anchor down, me heart is down, anchor down you go. Sure, and now's an ultra run, but don't you run too slow. 6 or 12 or 24, that be up to you. But anchor down, me heart is down, don't stop until you're through.
Thank you, Jeff. Peter, you were getting into where you're at sort of with your training and how it's gone. What, talk to me about that.
You know, I had really lofty hopes for how this training cycle would go. I mean, the biggest thing going into it 15 and a half weeks ago was, you know, I got to stay healthy and I got to not get injured, because that's something I've been experiencing off and on for the last 2 or 3 years. And mission accomplished. I am healthy. I am not injured. I am feeling, all things considered, they're really good. But having said that, I followed the marathon method plan, and I treated this like I was just running. I was getting ready for a marathon, and I'm questioning if I did the right things. There was a lot of long runs I either cut short or I missed altogether. I think my per week mileage has been very good. I think I bulked up and then retreated back in the right rhythm. It's just that the numbers weren't what I had hoped they could have been. There was a couple reasons for that. There was some travel in there. There were some other time consuming things. I can make a lot of excuses. I know that I did some of it really, really right. And I did some of it not the way that I would have thought I would be able to do with this much information that I've had and experience that I've had these last like 7 or 8 years.
Yes, I agree. I feel the exact same way. And part of it was also, you mentioned travel. The artist in residence, I spent a week in Washington, D.C., where I ran, I don't know, maybe 10 miles that week, 12 miles that week.
Right,
but,
right.
But because we were on D.C., we were on vacation, we walked everywhere. I think we had like a 15 or a 20 mile walking day.
Right.
That's
right.
Real.
That's big. That's big.
Right.
And, that's right.
And I also did the walk around Manhattan. That's 30 plus miles.
That's tremendously important.
But I had to recover from that in a totally different way because I had sort of walker's injuries. I had these giant blisters on my heels that looked like somebody had hot glued bananas to the back of my heels. And that took several weeks to recover, or a week to recover from. And then we also were in Maine, you know, to my good fortune. I was using some extra vacation time that I had gathered during the last 2 years of COVID. So I took a bunch of vacation, but we were hiking in Maine. I did a little running, but I had big hiking. I was in my kayak a little. You know, none of these things are running, but they're movement. So, you know, I think I too rationalized a lot, but didn't stop moving. So we'll see how it goes. I definitely do not have the running miles under me that I wanted to or anticipated, especially when you look at someone like the running unicorn, Boston's running unicorn, Corinne Griffiths. So Corinne was doing like back to back 15s or back to back.
Yeah, her
20s.
Her numbers are so good.
Back
she is
when
so
I was like trying to get a 13 in. She's
right, she
doing
is
30 on a weekend.
She crushed, and she's doing. I'm so excited to watch her run past me many, many, many times to my one loop. I can't wait.
And that's really when I decided to drop any notion of the 12-hour down to the 6-hour.
Yeah, you and I went through a sort of temporary insanity this past week where we were like, should we just go for the 12th because we're already in it? Like, let's just, and the answer is no, because we didn't train. I didn't train that way. Not really, not truly. Could I keep walking for an additional 6 hours? I guess I could. I just, that's not what I want this first experience to be.
Yeah. I don't want to walk through the night because I didn't train well. That's crazy.
It will feel a little bit like punishment, and not the kind of punishment that I know we're all going for. It would be a different kind. And I, so no, I think we've both decided that that's not a good idea. It's also a change on, you know, whoever you have as your support staff, you're changing the game on them, and that's not necessarily fair. So that's not where we are at this minute, and that's totally fine. 6 hours is a plenty, and we're going to see how we do. I'm excited. I really am excited more than anything else. I'm a little nervous because it's new and it's something I haven't done, but that's part of the reason why I want to do it. I look at someone like a Paul or a Lori who've attended this thing. This is going to be their fifth year in a row. And that video is so inspiring. It's really very fun. It's a little daunting, but they're doing a totally different thing. 24-hour races. It's amazing.
It's a completely different experience. And, you know, I will agree with you. This is really the first time I've been excited to do this race since we got in. It's been a looming concern of mine for the last 6 months or however long we've been working on it.
Yeah.
And yeah. Now this week, a few days out, I'm finally back to being excited about it.
Well, that's good because it's going to happen one way or the other. It just is. And I'm going to be excited the minute it starts more than any other time, because the second we get going is 1 second less that's still in front of us. And the clock is just going to go down.
Well, that's true. That's an interesting way to think
right?
about
it. So if you get through the first loop, the first hour, the first 2 hours, like, well, that's less time than I'm going to be running at the end. Like,
I keep thinking of it like we're starting at zero and going up to 20 minutes and an hour and
no,
hour
we're not.
And 30 and two.
No, the clock starts
down from 6
down.
Hours. I love
correct.
That.
And that's fun. That's a fun move. And it's something I've never done. But to your point, we came close with Soul Searching Solstice this year, and you've done it 2 years because you knew it was a finite amount of time. That sun was going to go down and that was going to be it. There's a little bit of a freedom in that. So I'm excited by it.
Come on, break.
Yeah, so I've been using the phone more for Strava, but I'm trying to decide if I actually want any kind of recording device of my pace on the run, on the race. I don't know if I need it.
Well, I'm not going to be really paying attention to pace except for the time of each loop. And to know, oh, if I want to get my top goal, I should speed up or slow down a little bit, you know, and that'll be later in the race.
Mm.
And then, you know, if I want to hit, oh, well, I'm not going to get my first goal. Should I go for my second goal and know, oh, I should speed up a little. But that's going to be, as I come around, I'll see my loop time or, you know, whatever. It's the actual pace is unimportant, because it's going to have to be whatever the day gives us. Is it, if it is hotter or if it's raining. You know, we haven't talked about that. It could be very windy and rainy and humid and weird.
Could be.
And that could slow you down. So you have to throw out, you know, whatever you came to do and just take what the course gives you. I'm not wedded to a pace. I have some goals in mind like you do, but I'm not going to be looking at my watch a lot. Maybe my heart rate here and there. And I think it will be, I always love looking at the data afterwards, just because I find it interesting, especially if I, me or you or both of us decide to do this again.
Right. Yeah. So I'm probably going to record it on Strava as I go. That's probably real.
You know, Peter, we did talk about that, but I think we should talk about the elephant in the room.
I guess we have to.
Don't call it a comeback.
We've been gone so long that you thought that we were gone, but we just needed a nap, and now we're back.
Okay, here's the thing. So Jeff Cronenberg was so kind to give us that little, we haven't been doing the show for a while sting, and the funniest part is he gave it to us over a month ago.
It was a long nap. I needed it.
Yeah, it was a four-month break. We didn't do any shows.
I guess that's why we haven't been training so well, because we've been napping for the last 4 months. No. In all seriousness...
I've been taking a lot of naps. That's true.
That Boston Marathon show was a big one. We were back in the library for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
12 guests or something like that. It was a couple hours show. And we said, well, we don't have to do one after that. And then it was... We could not find the mojo to crank the whole HWYRT production train back into motion. It's been, we've been doing it for what, 6 years, five and a half years, six and a half years? I don't know.
And six and a half.
6.5 years and a lot of episodes. And all the other parts of life started flooding in. You know, it's crazy to think, because we did a lot of shows in 2020 and 2021 when there was a lot of crazy stuff going on, not the least of which was a pandemic, which many of us at the time, at the beginning in 2020, weren't vaccinated for. So it was scary. And, I, you know, part of this helped us keep part of what kept us sane was doing the show, keeping some normal rhythm.
Right. That's right.
And
very much.
A little bit of what happened was, as we've moved out of that, as we've had the opportunities to travel, as we've had, we, both of us have had kids graduate high school this spring, and just all of that took over. And without even ever talking about it, you and I just decided to lean into that as opposed to keeping up with the routine of doing the show. And it really, it was not planned in any way.
It wasn't planned. It just sort of every month came and went. And all the things you listed are more than valid, more than valid. And there was something about this training too. Like it really was heavy on my mind. It was, you know, every single day I thought about it and did something toward it, or at least tried to, and it became the thing that I was doing, but it was very internal. You and I didn't even really talk a whole lot about the training too much. There were a couple runs we did together, but do you know what I mean? Like it's this thing where we're, it's very personal, I think, in some ways. Like I'm at a point now, because we're about to do the race, where I think I do want to voice some things about it, and I think it gets show worthy. And I know that we'll want to do a show after the race, because we're going to want to talk about the experience. But we've been in a weird period of time, and so much of it really is the family stuff, right? The kids graduating and the transition and getting them ready to go off to college. For you, it's your second time and last time dealing with that. For me, it's my one and only time doing it. And there have been a lot of travel. There's been a lot of mini trips and things. And yeah, the time is, it's also the time flies by. I don't know how it's been 4 months since we've done a show. I want to apologize for anyone who's been hitting the refresh button on the downloads. I know Igor Babushkin, I don't know if you remember Igor Babushkin. He's been hitting refresh five or six times a day for about, I don't know, 120 days. So Igor, I'm sorry, this is for you. Here you go.
Igor Babushka.
is. It's so long. Thank you for stopping it. So Igor, and to all the Igors out there, for all the Thursday Night Listening Club people out there, everybody, I know we've sort of been keeping you in the dark, and at the same time, the show went sort of dormant. You know what didn't go dormant was the activity on SatStatChat. Like every Saturday, people really kicked it up and got out there and showed us and started talking to each other. And that community that's out there, it's humbling. It's very cool to be a part of it and to know that, you know, whether there's new content or not, that some form of that has kept going. And I've loved looking at it every Saturday. It's so interesting. So thank you, everybody, for continuing to support the show in that way.
Well, it's been said that people have been, new people have been coming on and listening to the show.
Yes, something is happening because certainly in the down months, downloads still happened and the entire catalog of 200 plus shows have been tapped. So clearly somebody is finding us, or somebody has told somebody else, or it is true, you know. So thank you for anyone who's new. And can you imagine people who are catching up and like they get to that show and the marathon show, and maybe they just got to it like last week, and now this new show is out, and they, for them, and they there's no
break, right?
Yeah, there's no break.
Why are they doing this elephant in the room segment?
Yeah, why are they apologizing? Everything's fine.
Yeah.
That's a good point. You know what, as the time goes on, this will be meaningless, but that's okay. So anyway, hey, we're back. Enjoy it. Tell me more, Brian. You had something else you wanted to bring to the fore.
Yeah, Peter. So I came home from a little trip, and there was some mail in a pile, and one of my favorite magazines was in there, called Trail Runner Magazine, tagline, One Dirty Magazine. Hilarious, right? And in any case, I open it up, and I always read the letter from the editor, whoever's editing that issue. You know, it's one that comes out like six times a year. They have I think this was the summer running one. There's the mud issue, which is really fun, and it's just a glossy, it's thicker than you would get in a weekly or a less often or a, you know, a more often magazine. It's really, you can keep it around for a long time because the paper is going to still look good. Usually the photos are great, and as opposed to, let's say, the larger circulation running magazines, I think we all know what we're talking about. There's a little less fluff, maybe, is what I'm trying to say. They're good articles about running, and it is about trail running and nature and conservation and all of that kind of stuff. So it's more essays than anything else. They do gear reviews, but you're hearing me be effusive about it, and that's how I am every time it comes in the mail. Because I am really excited. I usually sit down and read about half the articles in one sitting, and then the next day pick it up and finish it. And then I'm sort of like, oh, I've just binged my entire Trail Runner magazine. The long story short is I read the letter from the editor, and before I get to anything else in the magazine, the announcement is, and as this is our last issue, we just want to say thank you, blah, 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 blah. And as I was reading the words, it was just blah, 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 blah in my mind. Now, I made a little post on Instagram about this, and there was a comment said, well, I think they're going digital, aren't they? They recently came into the outside magazine publishing world, and along with about, I don't know, 8 or 10 other publications, they're either going digital only or ending completely. I don't care. I'm not interested. I spent all my time in front of a computer. The rest of the time is in front of a phone. Yes, will I watch some trail running videos? Sure. Do I want to finish work and then settle back down to some glowing device and read articles that have embedded video? And no. The reason I love that magazine so much is A, it came not often, so it was a treat to get it.
Sure.
Less filler. Let's read that. You know, monthly magazines.
Yeah. Had some
filler in them.
Yeah, but so this had meat that you enjoyed.
And I wasn't looking at a screen.
Yeah, no, I hear you bemoaning the loss of the paper material, the periodical, the thing that came to you in the mail, special to you every once in a while, and you would relish it, you would devour it. It was a special treat.
But it's not only that. Even if it still exists in a even more glorious form online, when I'm looking at the magazine, I don't get a text I can't get a notification
right
that something just happened.
Right.
None of those things happen. It's just the magazine as they put it together, you know, the week before and printed it and sent it to me. It's an intentional situation, which you can
yes.
be completely involved in.
Yes.
Or not.
I understand.
Distraction is difficult. Less so when you're looking at it in the electronic form.
Brian, I want to say that I'm sorry for your loss.
But I mean, do you have anything like that? Do you, or are you just, you don't care if you like something? I don't care if it's on my phone. I don't care if it's on a Kindle. If it's a guy down the street that I have to go and he talks to me, any form of communication media is equal and good.
I don't know about equal and good. I think I definitely have favorites over other. Like I really do enjoy the feel of a book in my hands. They're getting harder to read, but that has more to do with my eyes than the actual material. I never like to read devices outdoors, and I love to read outdoors. So I would much prefer a magazine or a book or a newspaper outside. That's a real thing I've noticed. On the inside, I still would if you're actually supine and laying down and about to go to bed, it's nice not to have devices. You know, there's all those studies that say the light's bad for you and the activity of it is bad for you and the way it engages your brain is bad for you. I love reading books just before bed. I love reading a magazine. If it's something I started, an article I want to finish. I am one of those people who every once in a blue moon will find something online and print it because I want to read it that way. I will say this, the only experience that I can liken to what you're talking about is there was an industry standard magazine in the toy collecting world called Toy Shop Magazine. I believe it was monthly. It was a big physical thing. Like you actually held it and, you know, it was kind of like the size of, I'm going to reference the Boston Phoenix, but nobody would know what that is. It was newspaper size practically, but maybe the half size.
What do they call it? It's a, the New York Post is one.
Yeah, Boston Herald was like that. It was like
a tabloid. It's a newspaper tabloid form.
Tabloid form. And that sounds, you know, like it's like a, that's become like a derogatory term, tabloid. But you're saying the shape of it was a little bit smaller. But it was,
and it was by, it was folded like a book as opposed to a big newspaper. Where
correct, right? Forward. Yes, exactly. And it had some heft. And what was it mostly? Well, it was mostly stuff for sale or stuff people looking for things or advertisements. True, but then there would be several big articles in there, a note from the editor, a thing, and it gave you the feeling. And I think this is what you're thinking of. Like it talked about the culture of the thing it was about. And right, your trail magazine did that for you, right? Yeah. It kept you in that world. I'm not saying the website doesn't do it, but there was something about getting it, having this thing. It was also a resource. I'm curious, let me ask you this. Have you kept all your issues, or was it the kind of thing like once you read it, you got rid of it?
I'm going to tell you something very sad. I did keep them for a very long time.
Yes.
And because they're thicker, you know, like I said, they're thicker stock. They have
good
things. And I took two or three of them. As you know, I went to a week-long experience that involved a collage class. And so I brought two or three of them to the collage class as fodder for collage. And now they are made into lots of different things, all cut up and turned into all different kinds of things that the whole group was able to use. So it's been recycled in an artful manner, but I no longer have them.
Okay, but do you have a stack of previous ones before that?
I have some old, sure. Yes.
And now you'll probably really keep them.
I guess, you know, I like to keep things like that around for a year or so. You know, you and I grew up in the National Geographic.
I was just thinking National Geo, because we kept them. We just kept them.
Right. And I remember many, many, many households. This was a thing probably in the late 90s, where as people of older generations moved on and left their houses and left things, there would be dozens of bundles of these. And the National Geographic magazine was a certain size. It was smaller than your typical magazine, but thicker. Bundled in white string, always. Yep.
Yes.
And there would just be stacks and stacks of them. And maybe some people took them, maybe not. You would see them at garage sales. You'd see them maybe even at your own relative's house as they were clearing out.
Sure.
They'd be lining the sides of garages because they were so fantastic. The articles were deep. I mean, people did a lot of learning through National
yes,
Geographic.
Absolutely.
The photography was wondrous and still is, you know. The print version even still exists, and the online version, whatever, it's great. But they were so fantastic that people kept them. You couldn't throw them out, because if you didn't read every article every time it came, you could go back and read it. And frankly, as a kid, I loved going into houses that had National Geographic. We were not subscribers. So I would go in and, you know, go to some boring adult function where I'm supposed to be quiet and not cause a ruckus. But if somebody had a stack of National Geographics, I'm reading it or just looking through it. Underwater photography, outer space photography.
The whole bit.
Crazy cultures you've never seen. All kinds of stuff.
And that's why this is a running podcast.
When you're not running, you need to read physical magazines.
Well, I'm sorry again for your loss. Change is hard. What are you going to do to fill the void? How can we help you through this?
Well, I've decided to start my own print edition of a running magazine. Peter, would you like to join me for How Was Your Run Today, the magazine?
You know what? Here's the thing. I would make one issue. I would do it. I would really work very hard to make one, get it out the door, sell 15 copies, feel really good about it. And then you'd ask me what's going to be in the second issue. And then I say, oh, I think we have to go digital.
Yeah. Well, you know what that would make us, though?
No.
Trendsetter.
Nah. I knew. Here's the thing. It's the real reason why I needed 4 months off.
Because of this?
Trendsetter.
Okay. So what you're doing here now is you're making it so that we're not going to make another show till November. So do you really want to play this card?
Don't blame me.
Don't hate the player. Hate the game. Brian, there's someone in the HWRT extended family that we got to give huge kudos to. Do you want to do the honors?
Well, anybody who is looking at running-related social media knows that Mike Wardian crossed the entire country this year.
The whole country, man. And he did it not in a whole lot of time. Like, he kept moving.
He may have set a record. I don't know. He did at least 50 miles a day, which is mind-boggling, because if you followed it all, there was snow involved, there was sleet, there were mountains, there was excruciating heat, there were highways and trucks and byways and whatever rhymes with trucks that you can say in a podcast.
There might have been some ducks, some mallard ducks.
Yeah. Some mallard ducks. In any case, what I want to say is that would be a great time to share our interview with Mike Wardian that we did. But he chose to do it while we were in hiatus. So we don't have an interview with Mike
Wardian. Right. We forgot to record it.
But you can check the print edition of How It's
No. Today. No, you can't, because we sold out. And it's, you can get it on eBay. That would have been great if we had done like 10 shows or 12 shows over the last 4 months and we just didn't record any of them.
Well, we did, frankly.
Well, you and I did.
Occasionally talk.
You and I did. We did.
And one of us would say, should we record that? And it's like, oh.
I'm not too sure where the microphones are.
I'm not sure how to do that again. I mean, look, it's not a burden. It's just something we've been doing for a really long time.
No, and life gets in the way. Sometimes life gets in the way. And it's, you know, again, I feel like we're on the apologies here. We don't really have to be. Like, you know, people enjoy the show when they enjoy it. And people's lives are also busy. I'm not too sure. You know, maybe this is going to be a welcome change. And the change, it being just because of the interruption and now back to this. This is might be good for people. I don't know. We'd love to hear from people. I'm surprised not more people sent letters or emails or phone calls. We got maybe two emails at one point where someone said, are you guys still doing a show?
Well, and I thanked them for sending those.
Yes, you did.
It's meaningful. But yeah, no one really noticed, to tell you the truth.
No one really noticed.
So I don't know what, even why we're doing this one. Maybe I'm just wallowing in my own.
No.
Something.
No. It's the trick. Oh. Baby man, don't worry. It's fine. You know what this? It's a taper trap. It's a taper trap. We're in a taper trap right now.
I think you called it.
Caught in a trap. Taper trap. Do we have a sting for taper trap? That feels like something we should have had.
Nope.
We don't have anything like that.
We just have this. Who's going to carry the boats and the logs?
Who's going to carry the boats? Well, we're going to carry the boats. We're going to carry them on Friday night into Saturday morning. So, yeah, we're off to Bristol, Rhode Island Friday day in the late afternoon, and then we're going to set up and start running by 7 p.m. We're going to run till 1 a.m. It's going to be phenomenal. And then we're probably going to do a big show on the other side of that. And hopefully get more voices than just ours to talk about what it was like. I'm really excited because it's this thing I've been thinking about for years. We were both so fortunate to get into the race. It's such an honor to get in. I mean, in terms of goals and sub goals, you know, I want to run healthy and I want to finish healthy. I want to stay healthy. That's been the biggest thing through my training and now through the race. And I think those are attainable goals. And then, you know, I just want to see I just want to see what I can get done. It's really interesting. I'm excited.
Thank you so much for giving me that 6-hour countdown clock at the beginning of the race. That has changed my outlook completely.
I'm so glad. You're welcome.
Also, thank you for telling me it's not going to be 90 degrees.
It's definitely not going to be 90 degrees. I promise you it's not. It's not. It's not. It's going to feel warm. It's going to get progressively cooler, but we're going to get progressively hotter. And I'm probably going to leave the hot Cheetos at home.
Hey.
It's been so long, Brian, I don't even know how to do the credits, but it's something like, this has been episode 254, after a long break, of How Is Your Run Today with Brian Gould and Peter Villa. Music by Jeff Cronenberg. Our artist in residence, and is she making art for the show? I hope she does, is Andrea Bonnie Gould.
Well, she'll be crewing us for the Anchor Down All, I can tell you that.
Thanks, Henny.
Join us as you have been every week, whether we produce a podcast or not, at the Sat Stat Chat. Go on to Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. Tell us how your run was, what the weather was like, and please include a sweet, sweet photo. Peter, tell the people where they can go to learn more about this show and listen to all of our previous archived episodes.
Well, the best way to do that is visit our website, hwrt.com. That's also available at howwasyourruntoday.com. And from there, you can listen to all our previous shows. You can see our local Emmy Award-winning film, Run Millinocket. And you can also check us out on the socials.
Peter, I'm going to go watch that Anchor Down documentary with Paul and Laurie in it about 10 more times before the race. You want to join me doing that?
Yeah, I got to stay up till 1 o'clock every day this week to get used to it. So I'm sure
that's not how you do it.
Isn't that
just sleep and miss one day of sleep? You don't have to train to miss sleep. That at this point,
yeah, you're right.
Tapering. That's an awful idea.
You're right. In fact, I'm just eating salads and sleeping 12 hours a day.
Okay.
I might have to eat some steak.
I'll fix that post.
First edit of the show.
Now, this is the problem with the volume. I can't actually adjust the volume. So I'll fix that in post.
It's fine. It'll tail down into something like.
I think we go into credits right here. I can't do the credits because I can't fade it down. So we'll just have
to. Why? Because it's been 4 months down and you don't know how to do the show anymore?
Yeah.
And this is why we're never going to sell HWRT to some huge conglomerate where it becomes,
well, they're asking.
That's
why we haven't done any shows, because we've been taking so many meetings.
Yeah. By buying out our IP. So that's why we've been really negotiating. We're trying to figure out our next move. No, we're trying to keep this grassroots, baby. It's great.